and so on to competition. Well, one of the approaches, one of the things we looked at was the ways in which different cities and countries compete for these global sporting mega events. We also asked the question, you know, whether the same sort of concerns come in when it comes to smaller scale events. But the mega events, the Olympics, the FIFA World Cup, the Commonwealth Games, for example, they certainly grab people's attention. So there we go in slide 52, quote from the head of the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, saying that Rio presented the bid with a strong technical bid, but also prioritised the athletes, sport itself, opportunities for the city and the region to work towards their broader long-term aspirations and so on. So a full recognition there that in working towards attracting one of these big events to your location, you will be forced, compelled to engage with that broader set of discussions, because on that basis decisions are made. Now, slide 53 talks about exactly what it is that can lead to a successful bid for one of these events. And a lot of it comes down to, you know, the credibility of your bid, the team behind it, your experience in hosting events, the fact that you have a stable political and economic system on which to build on, and the fact that that team and the bid you submit recognises the objectives of the organisation that's handing out the event itself. And these sorts of things are looked at in the following three slides, 54 to 56, which come from University of West of Scotland and a lecture that I was lucky enough to be able to use or draw upon from them. And what they're saying is that, you know, it's not enough just to have the technical bid down pat. You also need to, you know, wrap it up in part of a bigger story. And also part of the point they're making is that those nations with a less democratic system than perhaps we're used to in the UK often seem to be doing well at the moment. Perhaps they are better able to deploy the necessary resources, be it Beijing or Qatar or Russia or wherever it may be. So that's leaving something of a limited opportunities for those states which are on a more democratic footing, where you have to demonstrate why you've been spending the public's money, justifying the decisions that you're making, and so on. Now, there's a case study there as to exactly what Brazil has put forward in terms of trying to attract the event, which is fantastic. But we can also see in that slide in the later paragraphs that having attracted the 2014 Football World Cup, Brazil is now trying to some extent fight back against the massive amounts of control that FIFA are seen to have over the way that event is being run within Brazil, and also the ways in which FIFA and its partners are being treated. And you know, to the extent that they get tax breaks and all the sorts of things that we looked at in the relevant seminar on this topic. So the concluding slide on page 56 of this mini section, you know, kind of draws out some of these topics. What is it that these mega event owners are going to demand next? What is it that they're looking for in each different case? To what extent do those kind of stakeholders have a big say in the way you run your event on your ground, that sort of thing? And we can also see from the discussion that the UWS slides put forward this idea that, you know, if you are a democratic system and you want to spend money on events, then you're going to have to come up with, you know, good reasons as to why that is sound and legitimate in the face of job cuts and so on. Now, the next podcast may well be the last, so stay tuned.